Let's just go right into this broadcast or podcast of Live and Breathe Horse Racing Facebook group and now of the podcast network, as Gabriel Vartanian has also put one out that you can listen to. It's about a 5-minute one and a little bit of discussion in regards to the Rebel, as far as what his views were. But this Live and Breathe Horse Racing Facebook podcast is growing. We are now on every single platform that involves podcasts. So that's an important and awesome thing. So if you're on Apple and you're listening to it, please rate, review, subscribe, rate, review, however you want to do it, but just rate. And today we are really excited because we are going to begin our conditions part of our tutorial or education. So what I'm asking everyone to do right now is to basically go and look at a condition book for Kentucky, for Indiana Grand, for Woodbine, and the last one is also for Kentucky. So maybe not all of them Kentucky, as we have two of them in place already. But you can go ahead and get anything as far as any of the condition books. They're pretty much all the same, or are they? But let's start out. We're going to start out with the basic simple thing, and that is maidens. And a lot of people look at maiden races and think there's a lot of stuff to it, and you get kind of confused with first-time starters. And on a later podcast, we'll discuss what we look for as far as that. But today, as far as this is concerned, we are just going to talk about the conditions when it comes to maidens and how they are written, because not all jurisdictions write maiden races the same way. So, for Santa Anita, there are two different designations for maiden races. There are the Calbreds, which are born and bred in California and actually have a purse set up for that from the racetrack and also from the California Breeders Association. So they combine their purses together to add extra money to it to help provide owners and breeders an opportunity to run against only California breds. But are they really California breds? That is the question. The question is that were they bred in California? Was it a California stallion? Or was it a Kentucky stallion? Or was it an out-of-state stallion? Was it a European stallion? These are things that you need to take a look and understand as far as cowbred races are concerned. Like we said, not all maiden races look or sound the same thing. And this goes for every single jurisdiction that has in other states that have their state bred programs. Indiana, Florida, New York, Kentucky to some extent, but they really don't run state bred races. Oklahoma, Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, all these jurisdictions have state bred races. The deal is that you have to, and there's other jurisdictions, I understand that, like Pennsylvania and Delaware, but I'm just looking at the ones that I can remember. But all of them have a designation of Indiana bred races. Now, there are differences. In Indiana, there's Indiana bred and there's Indiana sired stallion races. So that's a big difference, because if you're sired in Indiana, that means you were bred there. You were actually sired there. Means basically you could have had a mare that stays in Kentucky, goes in, gets a stallion breed, and then just gets sired there. So it's really important to understand that there are different thought processes when it comes to how the state bred programs are worked and how this helps with the maiden races in terms of how you handicap them. And I'll give you a perfect example. Tomorrow at Oaklawn Park, there's an Oklahoma bred, there's an Arkansas bred stake race, or there's an Arkansas bred maiden race, and it literally has one out of state bred horse that's making its first start in its career, and the sire is now in Turkey. It was in Kentucky at the time of the breeding and then moved to Uruguay and now is in Turkey. So very interesting. Should be the one that looks the best, but she was bred to The dam basically never won races. Two out of the three dams are still maidens, and one took two races to win the maidens. So that's just one thought process of it. The other thing is that there's also maiden claiming races. So the maiden claiming races are a little different as well, because they have the same sort of designation. But a lot of times what you'll see is with the maiden claiming races, you will see races to where three-year-olds and up are already starting to run against each other with maiden claiming, because they need to fill the races. And again, there's state bred, there's non-state bred. It all depends. The most important thing, though, is to read the condition as far as it's concerned. And by reading the condition, you can gain a lot of information as far as what you're looking for in that specific race when you're handicapping. And I know I said I'd go over and make it another podcast, but let's just do it now. We've got a little time. I don't have to be back in class until 12:45, but I won't keep you that long. I'll keep you another 5-6 minutes maybe. But basically, what I look for as far as this is concerned is really, really important. When it comes to the state bred maiden races and the state bred claiming races for maidens, I am looking for stallions that aren't necessarily from that state, especially the lower you go in the races. So obviously Louisiana has a pretty good sire program or stallion program. So depending on who you have, like Guitar Star or some semblance of Eyed there, I wouldn't necessarily think that that's a bad sire when that's concerned. In Texas, it's all about Bredaster and anything that comes out of Valor Farms. But if you don't see anything out of Valor Farms or Bredaster, then basically you want to look to see what other stallions are there, where they're standing. I know that sounds like a tough thing to do, but with all the information on the internet, it's quite simple how you can find that information. So that's another point to make. If you're in Indiana and you have an Indiana sire and it's all Indiana sires, you're obviously going to go with the one that's more important. But what we're seeing a lot in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas are a lot of Kentucky stallions having their imprint in the Texas programs. So in these other programs, so they can build the breed and build the stallion registry with at least some sort of Kentucky background. Me personally, I think the New York bred program is probably the best, followed by Kentucky and then Florida. And then you're looking at a lot of things in between. At one point in time, Cal bred was really the most impressive and important place to be. And now I don't think that's the case. But if you're looking for the stakes, if you're looking for horses that are running against state bred company, you're going to look for horses that are running, that are siring from out of state, have high prices. And what you're going to notice is that a lot of them come from the sales, Keeneland and OBS and Physique Tipton. So you can go back and you can look at the pedigrees and see what's going on as far as that's concerned. When it comes to straight maidens, obviously you're going to get a ton of stuff that's coming from Kentucky all over the country. Me personally, when it comes to that, as far as handicapping, if it's a regular straight maiden race, I'm really just going to be concerned about whether or not how long they've been running in that level. If they've been running at straight maidens for 10 tries and none of them have been in a state bred deal, then I'm probably going to throw them out if they haven't won yet. And how many times were they running at the distance that's going on at the race? The other thing I'm going to look at is how often have they been dropped down in class and haven't been successful and moved up. And then the third thing is, are they win early dams? I don't look at the sire so much as I look at the dam. So if the dam ended up dropping a ton of runners and they all don't win early, but the dam won early, I may still kind of hedge my bet toward her, but not give her as much of a look as, say, a horse that the dam was a win early sire or win early dam, and then everything that she's dropped is winning within the first three races. And when I say win early, I mean the first three races in my mind. Others have different opinions. It's first out, might be second out, but really, in all honesty, give horses three races before you don't consider them a win early sire, a win early horse, because it's really important. As far as everything else is concerned with the main races and all that, with the claiming ranks, what I'm looking for when it comes to claiming ranks is I am looking for horses that were bought at a certain level and then dropped. So a couple weeks ago, in Florida, there was a horse that ran for $5,000, that was bought for $5,000 in Keeneland, ran two straight maiden special weights, showed a little bit of talent, but not much, and then dropped all the way to the bottom to the 12,500 level. And she aired, but because everybody saw the two races, they thought nothing of it. But in all honesty, they paid $5,000 for her. She just ran for $12,500. If they would have gotten her claimed, they still would have made their money on her. And she wins, so now they've already made their money. Same goes with any other place you're looking at, especially in Oklahoma, where you have a lot of Oklahoma breds or Arkansas breds running for main special weights that have maybe been sired for $1,000, some of them for $500, and then all of a sudden they're in main special weights, and then they drop all the way down to a maiden claim or bottom level. You got to give them more of a look, because it's obvious that the owners maybe have thought that they had a little talent, and now they realize that maybe they should just run her where they belong, where she belongs, and hope that either A, she wins, picks up a check, or gets claimed. So those are things you want to look at as far as that's concerned. Obviously, we're going to have a whole section full of that at one time. My goal is to try to bring on a couple people as the podcast continues to grow. This is only our fifth one, but in all honesty, this is also going to probably be a lot shorter one, because I'm trying to do this in a classroom today before the students get back from their break. But it's always a pleasure to discuss horse racing with you all. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter. It's A Villanueva 3RD, and so you can go there. You can also go onto the Live and Breathe Horse Racing Group page, find me, and add me onto Facebook. So those are two ways. We Live and Breathe Horse Racing also has a Twitter account that you can use. But in all honesty, I think it's really important that we started with the maidens, and you have to look at how the races are being written, whether it's state bred or non-state bred, if it's three and up, if it's, four-year-olds and up, straight three-year-olds, anything like that. Those are things that you need to look at, because a three-year-old probably isn't as mature as a five-year-old in a maiden race, but it's something that you need to look at. And in closing, I hope you have enjoy your day. We'll be back on Thursday. Actually, today's Wednesday. We'll be back on Friday, and we'll try to have a podcast out Saturday and Sunday as well. But Friday, we'll discuss more about more conditions, and we're actually going to get into how Woodbine does their conditions, because I think as a handicapper, it's important to see certain things that you may not see, but if someone's been at that track or followed that track, can help you make more money. And because we aren't on tomorrow, I will give you a race today for tomorrow, and that race is going to actually be the fifth race. It's a maiden claiming race, and we actually like a horse called Call Me Derby there. She's shown improvement in both her starts on a wet surface, and there is no rain in the forecast, and I know Morris is one for the meet, but he is adding blinkers and he's dropping the filly. And then I did put an exotic key to it, and probably like this one a lot, and that's a filly by the name of Rye Rye French Fry, the number 8. Shown a bunch of speed throughout every single race, had Kelsey Haar on last time, and now goes big time with a different rider, and I think it's Dela Cruz. The big question, though, is can she carry the speed, the additional furlongs? If she can, I think she's going to be very, very playable and win the race. I would honestly say to check the first four races to see where the bias is, because if the bias is playing to the wide out closers like it has been lately at that track, It's important to make adjustments on the fly, but right now it's Call Me Derby to Rye Rye French Fry as our play of the day. And with that, it's almost 15 minutes. Have a wonderful day and good luck at the windows.